This is a podfic of the work, and may you have great fortune, by Stilton Basket, read by Daisy Diversions. The fandom for this fic is The Untamed, or Motozusha, with relationships of Lanjan / Weiying, and Lanwan / Niemingjue. Additional tags for alternate universe, modern setting, fluff, introspective, different first meeting, love at first sight, aka Lan Wenji meets Wei Wuxian and is immediately down bad, baby Ayuan, and happy ending. The rating is general audience and no archive warnings apply. Summary. On the night before New Year's, Lan Wenji meets Wei Wuxian. Author's notes. Happy Chinese New Year, heart. This fic has been in WIP jail since January 2023, and now it's finally free for it to come out of prison. And there's kind of a smug cow emoji here. Reader's notes. Hello. So this is going to be a cold read. It's probably going to be a chatty cold read. I'll kind of yap a little bit at the end because I know Stilton Basket likes that. But yeah, I'm recording this about 12 hours after it was posted. I got it in my email box and it was around 4 o'clock in the morning and I went, oh, I want to podfic this. I haven't even finished it. And I was like, well, it's kind of late. And then I opened it and I started reading it a little bit. And I was like, no. Let's podfic it tomorrow. So here I am. It's the afternoon. I've slept. I've hydrated. I've taken all of my pills. And I'm ready to get into this story. I've been reading a lot of dark stuff lately, so I'm really, and the world is dark right now. I'm recording February 2025, so, you know, look that up in your history books. But I'm so excited to be able to record some fluff, and Stilton Basket always hits me where I live, so I'm really excited to get into this. So let's go. We should go out to dinner, Lan Qichen announces when Lan Wenji visits his apartment on the day after Dongzhu. On New Year's Eve, Lan Wenji stops with a slice of grilled eggplant frozen halfway to his mouth. I would rather not, he protests, already envisioning what the city would look like on the night before New Year's. There would be people stopping on the sidewalks to watch fireworks. The bars would be overcrowded, all of them. And it would be impossible to drive anywhere without getting mired in traffic for at least 30 minutes. We have a dinner appointment next week after the 12th. The expense. Meng Yao's favorite restaurant has a discount for the loyalty club that day, his brother informs him. And Auntie Lai's has the best fried squirrel fish I've ever tasted. I know you love squirrel fish, Zhang Jian. Lan Wenji does love squirrel fish. It had been their mother's favorite dish, and thus one of the only meat dishes that both of her sons learned to cook. But squirrel fish is difficult to make, so Lan Wenji and Lan Qichen take turns preparing it every alternate New Year. Where is the restaurant? He asked, relenting. My students have no lessons for the 31st, so I will be free that day. We might as well go if Mingjueke has a discount. Come here at 6, and Ajue will drive us, Lan Qichen suggests. I'm going to invite Shufu and Huaisong too. Shufu ends up declining the invitation to absolutely no one's surprise. For when Qichen was in his middle 20s, and Shufu was in his middle 40s, He retired from the rest of the world at large and returned to the ancestral Lan estate to catalog the old Kalan library. And after that, he simply never left. The first time Wang Ji visited him there, he had grown a short beard and changed out of his neat professor's wardrobe for a set of knitted sweater vests, and purchased 3 pairs of gold eyeglasses that he did not need in the slightest. Knowing Shufu now, I'd never believe that he dabbled in the goth scene when he was young, Ji Chen reflects, when Lan Wenji calls him to pass on his uncle's regrets and report on Shufu's ongoing efforts to live the life of a man some 20 years older than he actually is. But I suppose it can't be helped. We'll see him when we go back to get ready for the reunion dinner. Lan Wenji spends the following day buying new guzheng scores for his music students, and to a lesser extent, recovering from the revelation that his uncle drove a motorcycle and wore nothing but gothic fashion when he was at university. But in the evening, just after 6 o'clock, he drives to Lan Qichen's apartment and lets himself into the kitchen with the spare key. Wang Ji, Niamin Jue calls as he enters, putting his head around the kitchen door. Did you bring a coat? We'll be walking about a block between the parking lot and the restaurant, so you'd better borrow one from Ahuan if you don't have one of your own. Na Wenji brought a coat for himself, but Nie Huaisong forgot his own, so their departure is delayed by a further 10 minutes, pushing their arrival at the aforementioned Auntie Lai's back to about 6:30. The restaurant is nearly full when they get there, though not so much so that Nie Mingjue is forced to take a table near the door. Lan Qichen manages to seize a comfortable booth under one of the high windows with seating space for 6, and then they sit down to wait for their orders, since Huaisong ordered ahead before they left the apartment. The fried squirreled fish arrives first, split in half and covered with a sweet red sauce. Lan Wenji takes one of the pieces and gives the second to his brother, who immediately puts half of his piece onto Nie Mingjue's plate. A pot of sweet-smelling rice is served a moment later, followed by shrimp cakes, long bao go, and dumplings stuffed with mushrooms. And without further ado, their party settles down to eat. None of them speak at the table, in spite of the pleasant atmosphere. Lan Wenji rarely speaks at mealtimes, for he was raised under the apprehension that maintaining silence during meals was one of the Lan family precepts, only to discover years later that his grandfather invented that particular rule in the 70s after a toddling Lan Qichen almost choked on a piece of Tang Yuan. And Lan Qichen and Nie Mingjue have no need to do so, since the two of them are perfectly capable of communicating without uttering so much as a word. Nie Huaisong, on the other hand, is so engrossed in his dinner that he has no desire to speak at all. And for the next 10 minutes, he and Lan Wenji fight noiselessly over the second plate of squirrel fish, while their brothers feed each other dumplings and braise zhu song behind the curtain that separates their booths from the rest of the room. Let go! Nie Huaisong hisses at last, batting Lan Wenji's chopsticks away. I want this piece. No, Lan Wenji hisses back. There is another one right there. You can have that instead. Then you take that one. If it's better, why do you want this one? In truth, the third plate of squirrel fish does look better. The fish is long, is larger and hotter than the previous two, and its batter crispier. Balawanji can hardly say that he wants the second carp because its shape reminds him of the squirrel fish his mother used to make. Suddenly, Lawanji's hands slip. For a moment, he felt someone's gaze on the back of his head, and when he turns, half expecting to see the party in the next booth laughing at his lapse in decorum, Lawanji finds himself staring at a family sitting on the other side of the room. The family, for it seems to be a family, consists of two men, a woman, and a child, who appears to belong to the taller of the two young men. Their table is filled with hot bowls of food, both of them covered with a layer of chili oil, but the man with the red blouse is busy picking morsels from the mild dishes and mashing them with his chopsticks before feeding them to the baby. "Look at how well he's eating," he coos. "How do you like the eggplant, Bao Bao?" "Wei Wuxian," the woman sighs. "Don't you think it suits spicy for him?" The man, Wei Wuxian, reaches out and covers the child's ears. "You didn't hear that," he says gravely, as the baby breaks into a grin that shows five tiny white teeth. "Chew properly, Ayuan. It was only a little bit of pepper, and it's good for you." The baby seems to agree, judging by the delight on his small face. And when the saucer of eggplant is empty, the baby makes a burbling noise and waves insistently at the pot of soup in the middle of the table. "Yes, yes, fish soup next. Baba knows the drill," his father smiles, stroking the baby's hair. "One moment, Yan Yan." He ladles out a bowl of soup and blows on a spoonful to cool it, puffing out his tanned cheeks, so the baby begins to shriek with laughter. And then he slips the spoon into his son's mouth, watching as the baby chews and swallows before opening his mouth for more. For some reason, Lawanji cannot bring himself to look away from them. The picture the father and child make together is altogether distracting. For the father is beautiful in a way that Lawanji has never found anyone beautiful before. Like a chattering stream or a red-leafed tree transforming into the shape of a man. And he moves so swiftly to tend to his son that the two of them seem like a single being split into two bodies. There is a kind of light in him, Lawanji realizes, as he watches the man hand his son off to one of his companions, and it gilds all that it touches. Lawanji means it almost literally. Auntie Lai's is lit with bright pendant lamps, which illuminate the tables below them in a cool white glow. But the table where the father and the child sit looks as if it might have been lit by a late afternoon sun, as golden as the father's skin. Even his hair seems to emanate light, though it is as long and dark as Lawanji's. He wears it wound into a thick black braid, out of necessity, perhaps, to keep his child from pulling at it, and gives the wisps of curling hair at his temple. And given the wisp of curling hair at his temple, Lawanji is certain that his hair would be wavy if it were left unrestrained. Suddenly, Wei Wuxian glances up and smiles at Lawanji. And Lawanji blinks and turns back to his plate with his heart thundering in his chest. Wangji? He hears Qichen ask vaguely, as if his brother had called out to him from several feet away. What's the matter? Nothing, Lan Wangji mumbles. It's nothing, Xiangsheng. I am well. He finishes his fish and dumplings without making another sound, but this silence is accompanied by a strange buzzing in his ears and a gnawing urge to look back at the red-clad figure laughing behind his back, made all the more difficult to bear by the fact that Wei Wuxian's voice seemed to stand apart from all the other voices in the room. The rest have mingled into a kind of pleasant murmur that Lan Wangji cannot tell one from the next, but he can hear Wei Wuxian calling, Ayuan, Ayuan, in a voice, in tones of such fondness that Lan Wangji nearly melts on the spot. Presently, he hears a crash and turns around to find Ayuan beginning to cry. From the looks of it, the baby had overturned his father's bowl of soup and burst into tears when it shattered on the tiled floor. The father pulled the baby into his arms, making soft shushing sounds as one of his companions scurried off to find a waiter. And then he jumps and lifts what seems to be a jacket from his seat at his left. Ayuan, he exclaims in mock dismay. Look what you've done. My jacket is soaked. Ayuan puts his thumb in his mouth and whimpers. I know, Wei Wuxian soothes. You didn't mean to knock the bowl over. Don't cry. He rocks Ayuan back and forth, kissing the baby's little face until his sobs quiet. And a moment later, Wei Wuxian's friend returns with one of the waitstaff. From the hurried conversation that follows, it appears that the Wei party was close to finishing their meal. They settle the bill and gather up their things, apologizing for the mess of soup and china at their feet. And after the table is set to rights, Wei Wuxian makes his way out of Auntie Lai's with Ayuan on one arm and his sodden jacket dangled from the other. Almost immediately, the spell that had laid over the restaurant comes to an end. The lights brighten and the snatches of conversation from the tables on either side of Lan Wangji's booth suddenly become clear. And as he sits there blinking, Lan Wangji glances up and glimpses a cloud of snowflakes drifting past the window. He thinks once again of the baby cradled in his father's arms, of the spilled bowl of soup and the wet jacket, and then, excuse me, he hears himself murmur as he rises to his feet. I will return in a moment. Wangji, what? But whatever his brother meant to ask, Lan Wangji does not hear it. He's already hurtling towards the door, then through it and out onto the chilly pavement on the other side. He can just make out a spot of red at the end of the street, flanked on either side by two figures dressed in black. Wait, he calls out, beginning to run. Please, wait a minute. The figure in the center comes to a halt, looking from side to side, and then Wei Wuxian turns back to face Lan Wangji and bursts out laughing. Speak of the devil, he cries, elbowing the boy on his left. I was just telling An Ning about the handsome Lao Xi who was staring at us in the restaurant, and now here you are. I did not mean to stare. Lomoji apologizes with some difficulty, for his tongue seems to have frozen in his mouth. It is only I saw that your little one spilled soup on your coat, so I thought that perhaps... Oh? Wei Wuxian asked, grinning. What do you think, Shuege? Lanwangji's cheeks burn. There are snowflakes trapped in Wei Wuxian's eyelashes, and in the dark braid hanging down his back. And with the power of speech now beyond him, Lanwangji undoes the buttons of his own blue trench coat and holds it out to Wei Wuxian. Here, he stutters. It is cold, and you... How far do you have to walk? Only 3 blocks, Wei Wuxian says, a little more kindly this time. Guga, you really didn't have to run after me like that. Qingzhi's car isn't that far. I hardly feel the cold. This assurance is punctuated by a soft sneeze and a shiver that strikes a sympathetic chill into Lanwangji's bones. Lanwangji narrows his eyes. Take it, he says, holding out the coat. Please, my brother's car is parked right around the corner. You're too kind, but really, how will I send it back to you? Wei Wuxian protests. Won't you need it tomorrow? There is a cleaner's tag in the breast pocket with my address and phone number on it. Lanwangji says helpfully, you could send it back by express tomorrow morning, or you could leave it at the dry cleaners if it is convenient. And then, against his better judgment, or you could keep it if you like. I have others. After all, Shufu bought a collection of thrifted bomber jackets to go with his sweater vests and dropped a box of his old slim-fitting overcoats off at Lanwangji's doorsteps, insisting that the bomber jackets were better suited to his advanced age. And since Lanwangji and Lan Qiren were nearly the same size, Lanwangji doubted that he will need to buy another coat for the next 20 years. He steps closer to Wei Wuxian, still holding out his coat. And Wei Wuxian takes it, touching the soft blue cloth with a kind of reverence that nearly brings Lanwangji to his knees. I'll send it back to you by 10 tomorrow, he whispers, looking up at Lanwangji. Do you live nearby? Only 15 minutes drive from here. Wei Wuxian nods, passing Aoyuan to the woman beside him, Qingzhi, he calls her, and slips into the coat. It looks lovely on him, a dazed voice whispers somewhere in the back of Lanwangji's mind. If only he had agreed to keep it instead. Good night, he says to Lanwangji, and his cheeks turn as red as his collar, now hidden underneath the high neck of Lanwangji's coat. I ought to ask your name, but I suppose I'll find it on the tag, won't I? Lanwangji shakes his head. You won't. Wei Wuxian lifts an eyebrow. Oh? The name on the tag is Lanwangji, but to you, I would have introduced myself as Lanjian. We have something in common there, Wei Wuxian smiles. You know my name, don't you? I do. I did not mean to eavesdrop, but I heard. Don't say it, Wei Wuxian exclaims, holding up a finger. That's Wei Ying to you. Do you know what I mean, Guga? Of course I do. Wei Wuxian and Lanwangji gaze at each other for a long moment, each strangely reluctant to look away, but at last, Wei Wuxian's companions seize him by the elbows and frog march him across the street. While Wei Wuxianet shouts his goodbyes back to Lan Wangji through his laughter. When the little family fades from view, Lan Wangji turns and walks slowly back towards Auntie Lai's. The snow is growing thick onto the pavement, and the restaurant is rather more empty than he left it. But Lan Qichen and Niming Jue are still sitting together in the window booth, waiting silently for Lan Wangji's return. At the sight of them, Lan Wangji stops in his tracks. I never expected to want such a life, he thinks, stunned. Father and mother were happy before mother died, and Xiangsheng and Ming Jue have loved one another since they were children, and yet I. It was not as if the young Lan Zhan had been friendless either. He had a handful of friends in his time. Song Qichen, Liao Qingyang, even Nie Huaisong, though the latter friendship would never have arisen if the two of them had not been forced into proximity by virtue of their brother's marriage. But he was most content when he was alone. And now, Lan Wangji closed his eyes. After tomorrow, perhaps he will not have to be. Author's notes. Oh my gay! Lan Qichen over the phone. And then Zhang Zhan chased after Wei Wuxian and gave him his coat. I swear, Shufu, I can't make this up. And Wei Wuxian has a baby boy. So if he and Wang Ji end up married, you might... Shufu? Shufu, are you there? Lan Qichen. Carry on. I'm just looking for something. Ajahn finally dating. How exciting. Lan Qichen.
Uncle?
Lan Qichen. Lan Qichen. ... Lan Qichen.
What are you looking for, Uncle?
Suspicious face cowmoji with a little sweat mark. Lan Qichen. I'm just thought that since I'm going to be a great uncle, it's high time I bleached my hair white. I'll look more mature that way. Lan Qichen.
Uncle, you're only 53. OTL.
Omake 2. Wei Wuxian the next morning.
I have your coat hostage, Erguga. Come on a date with me or you'll never get it back.
Lan Wangji, trying not to squeal.
I have approximately 15 other coats.
Wei Wuxian, question mark? Lan Wangji,
you can take turns holding them all hostage. Winky face.
Omake 3. Wei Wuxian, after meeting Lan Qichen.
Hey, Lan Zhan.
Lan Wangji, apprehensively.
Yes.
Wei Wuxian.
Your uncle told me that he was an old man with white hair and arthritis.
Lan Wangji. ... Embarrassed cowmoji. And he's like turning away. Wei Wuxian.
Why is he hot?
And that's a wrap. Come say hi on Tumblr at Stilton Basket and comment to feed your local Wangxian stan today. And there's a cow emoji with their arms out to the side and a little heart. Reader's notes. Congratulations to this fic on being released from WIP jail. I'm so glad that you're out now. This was such a joy to read, and I was just smiling the whole way through, and my face hurts from grinning, which happens so often with Stilton Basket fics. I should get used to it. But this is just so lovely, and
Yeah, just such a joy to read right now. And yeah, happy New Year to everyone. Yeah, this was so great. I love this. Starting from the top, yeah, I really love that, you know, Lan Zhan and Lan Qichen have these traditions that they've carried over from their mother to kind of keep her in their heart. And that's really lovely. I really appreciate that. And I feel like that's just so important, right? To be able to honor your family like that. But, you know, I think especially when you have somebody that you've loved, that you've lost, to kind of keep them in those traditions. I think that that's so important. And I think that that's real. And I think especially in the case of, you know, the Lan boys, they lost their mom when they were pretty young, right? So being able to keep those memories, I think, is something that's so important. And yeah, I love that they have this particular dish and it's like, oh, but it's so annoying to make. So we're going to take turns. And then it was probably Lan Qichen's turn. And he was like, I don't want to make it this year. Let's just go to a restaurant. And that's real too. You're allowed to do that. I just think that that's so fun. And yeah, Lan Zhan being like, yeah, that's fair. Let's just go to the restaurant. And then he and Nihui Song like fighting over the fish. It's just really cute. And it's just like, they're just sitting there, just like the younger brother is just like, give me the fish. No, give me the fish. And Nihui Song is just like, I'm just spacing out, like thinking about something else the whole dinner. And meanwhile, Lan Wangjin is just making a soul connection across the room on the astral plane. Like, it's really, really funny. Meanwhile, Lan Qichen and Nia Mingzhuai are just in their own little happy married bubble. It's really, really sweet. I love that. I love that. I also love Lan Qiren in this fic, who is not, does, has no speaking lines in the fic other than the omake, right? But just like such a quality, you know, character interjection for him. You know, I think, you know, people have talked about before, right? Where it's like, oh yeah, like old man Lan, but he's only like 40 years old. And, you know, he's one of the only adults in the room, in canon, but, at the same time, he's still pretty young himself. Right. And I think we always forget that, but, yeah, I love this. He's just like, oh, he had like a rebellious streak when he was younger. And you know, the reason the rules were invented were because of him. And, you know, he just doesn't, he, you know, radiates this, you know, sense of perfection is the only acceptable result, right? And yet for him, it's like, you know, he wasn't always like that as well, right? So I love that little nod. That's really funny and just like a lovely little character note. And the like, oh yeah, he was goth and he had a motorcycle and like all of this stuff. I think that's really funny. If there was ever a sequel of this fic, it would be really cute if Lan Qiren had kept all of his old goth stuff and then he gives it to Wei Ying. So it's like Lan Zhan has all the cast off from his professor days and then Wei Ying has the cast offs from his rebel days. That would be really funny. And he's just like, yeah, these are all of the different eras that I come in. But that's just be really funny. And I feel like there's something there, right? Where it's like, oh, you know, girls kind of gravitate towards men who are, like their fathers, right? I think that that's a cliche. You know, obviously a heteronormative one, but, like that's the cliche. So it'd be really funny if Lan Zhan ends up liking a guy who's similar to what his uncle was like in university, even though he didn't realize it. Right. That'd be really funny. But anyway, I just thought that was really cute. And then, yeah, Lan Chiran being like, yeah, I'm retired. I'm an old man. I'm going to lean into this as much as humanly possible. Like, I definitely feel that. Like, I wish I could retire right now. But I still have a long ways to go, guys. But if retirement is even something that my generation can imagine. But you know what? Lan Chiran doesn't have that problem. But I love that for him. Like, he's just living his best life. He's just like, yeah, early retirement. I'm just going to be like my family's historian and live on this estate. And you know what? I've even acquired a great grandchild. So you know what? I just really lucked out here. I'm getting everything that I earned, right? Or not great grandchild, a grandnephew, right? So he acquired his grandbaby, and yeah, he's gonna just embrace that lifestyle. I love that. Anyway, that was so fun. Okay. So the next part of it. So I will say that, I hadn't gotten to the part where, the other people at Weying's table had talked yet when I was reading this last night at 4 o'clock in the morning. And so when it said like, oh yeah, like, you know, Weying is with a man and a woman, I was like, great, it's probably the Wens. And so when it was like, oh, the woman spoke, I immediately pulled out my Wen Qing voice. And then once I stopped that line, I went, wait a minute, a man and a woman? That could also be Zhang Yan Li and Zheng Cheng. Oh my God, who is he sitting with? And so I had to try and like figure out who it was. I was like, I think it's Wen Qing, because she would say Wei Wuxian if it was, you know, if it was Zhang Yan Li, she would have said Ajian, right? Or Aying, like whatever. But I guess in this he goes by Wei Wuxian. So it would have been Ajian. So I had to skim a little bit ahead, and then I was like, okay, yeah, I'm right. It's Wen Qing. I thought that was really funny, where I was like, wait a minute. Like, Lan Zhan just, he understands that there's people there, but he pays so little attention to them that I really had to be like, wait, who is this? And so I am glad that I sussed that out correctly, but I just thought that was really funny and kind of just like speaks to the tunnel vision that Lan Zhan kind of, experiences in this fic, that is just like, everything is Weying in this moment, Weying and on Ayuan. And he just sees and recognizes his future in them. And I love that. It's really lovely. And yeah, that's just, oh, it just warms my heart. I love it. And yeah, just noticing each other across the restaurant, and Lan Zhan just being like, oh, I've never seen any, like, I've never thought anybody beautiful. Like, I think that this man is beautiful right in this moment. And him just kind of connecting, you know, those pieces of his brain together. And when Weying just gets up to leave, he goes, oh my God, this is my moment, right? Like, I cannot let him leave. And yeah, I just felt that that was so beautifully written. Yeah, this is so lovely and nice. And yeah, the whole thing of like, oh, like he immediately thinks, you know, your coat, like you can't walk, I can't let you walk 3 blocks without having a coat. Like, that's just so, so lovely. And I just, yeah, that's just so sweet. And of course, they're talking outside for so long. They probably could have walked the 3 blocks during that time period. But just like that sentiment of Lan Zhan being like, I can't let you walk away without, you know, having, you know, this interaction. And I can't let you, you know, be uncomfortable for even a moment. Like, it's just so sweet.
And then, yeah, then Wing's like, oh, how would I possibly get your coat back to you? You better give me your number, baby. And I just loved that, right? Like, Wing immediately clocks it. He's like, oh, like, there's this really cute guy who's talking to me in the restaurant, and we're definitely soulmates. And Wenqing was probably like, yeah, right, like, you're such a loser, right? And Wenning being like, oh no, I hope you see him again, right? Like, if it's meant to be. And Wei Ying's like, yeah, it's gonna be fine, like, you know, he's, you know, he's too beautiful for me anyway, and I'm like a single father now, ha ha ha. And my destiny is my kiddo, right? And then Lan Zhan immediately coming after them and being like, wait, don't leave my life. It's just, I love it. So beautiful. Anyway, what was the other thing I was going to say? Oh yeah. I love the thing at the front, at the very beginning of this fic where Lan Zhan shows up and Nia Mingjue is like, do you have a coat? Like, you need to have a coat with you, 'cause we're going to have to walk to the, you know, like a block to the restaurant. And when I was first reading that, I was like, Nia Mingjue, like, this is such an older brother thing. Like, of course Lan Zhan has a coat. Like, why are, and even if it wasn't, like, walking a block is not that bad, right? Like, depending on how long the block is. But, you know, and Lan Zhan's like, yeah, of course I have a coat. I brought a coat, right? So it's like setting up this thing later that we know that Lan Zhan has a coat and blah, 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 right? But it's really funny to me that then the next line is like, and Nia Huaisang has not brought a coat. And it's like, oh, okay. That's why Nia Mingjue asks, right? Because he's like, little brothers don't have coats. Like, they forget their coats because they're irresponsible. And then Lan Zhan is like, I am not that. And Nia Huaisang's like, I am. And I just, that's just so beautiful. There's just so much character in this fic that's just packed into, like a short amount of words. And, I just think it's so artfully done, which you can tell, 'cause I think this author's, this reader's note is half the length of the fic by now. I would only do this with Stilton Basket because I know that they like it. Anyway, I think this is probably all I have to say about this fic. Otherwise, I'll just rant for another hour and repeat the same points. Oh, a short note on the audio side. I am recording in a different room, so the audio quality might be a little different, so hopefully it's still okay. I figured this is like a little cozy Saturday afternoon read. So I'm doing it from my couch instead of from my office. And I also tried something a little different with my Lan Zhan voice this time. I have been thinking that maybe I want to change it a little bit. I usually go much lower. And I've realized it's harder for me to control the emotionality when I go that low, which I felt like was fine for Lan Zhan because he doesn't emote as much with his voice. But I'm thinking maybe if I go a little less lower and work on that, then I'm able to showcase those nuances a little better. But it's something I'm still working on and was kind of just workshopping. And I thought this was a good one shot to practice that a little bit. But yeah, if you are somebody who's listened to other fics of mine and you have an opinion on that, I'm happy to hear it. But in any case, yeah, I'm going to end it here and just say again, Happy New Year to everyone. If you enjoyed listening, please consider going back and leaving kudos and comments to the original author on AO3. Thanks for listening.